welcome to this special edition of What's On Joe Mine. It's a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. Today, it's a special edition because we will be talking about the pursuit of Cobra, the life and death, the ups and downs, the cheers and the boos. And we're talking boos, not like drinking like Chuck does during the program. But joining me on my regular podcast host in this supplemental podcast, we got Greg. Say hi, Greg.
Hey, everybody.
We got Justin. Say hi, Justin.
Hi, Justin.
Very good, man. You've been watching Martin Lawrence laughing, haven't you?
I'm new school. What can I say?
New school? Boy, that's we're about the only two that can pretty much remember that program, right?
Yeah, I only watched it in Nick at Night, at least. I didn't.
Okay, all right. Aired. And the real star of the show, Chuck.
Hey, you listen to me, Gary. You don't complain about how much I drink.
Now, you need to listen to Mike, even though he's difficult to hear when he's on the podcast, but you drink 30 minutes before the podcast, not during.
That is proper
Mike
etiquette.
Is so yeah,
thank you.
To me.
Okay, that's enough of that. That's just silly.
All right, real quick, contact information, whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. You can find us at our Podbean page, whatsonjoemind.podbean.com, and the mobile site, whatsonjoemind.podbean.com/mobile. And we support all mobile devices now. If you have an internet browser and can play MP3 back, we support your phone. So you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Stop by our home site at joedeclassified.com. Find our sticky threads on TNI, Joe Customs, and now Fighting 118th. And our regular discussion threads on Canuck, Terradrome, JBL, his tank, Blood for the Baron, and if you can find it, the G.I. Joe Collectors Club, which is the continued inside joke, and I'm waiting for Justin every time I say it to say, that's a low blow, Gary.
That's a low blow, Gary.
Okay, thank you. Just continue to roll with that. If there's nothing else that we can script in the program, just go ahead, and every time I mention that, just slide that on in.
Sure.
But today is a special episode. It is about the rise and fall of the pursuit of Cobra. So, everyone, pursuit of Cobra is now done. So please,
no.
Just take this moment while I play taps. Put your hand over your heart. Remove your hats. Think of what we did get, what we could have got, what we didn't get. And kind of turn it over to Justin and say, Justin, eulogize for us, would you please? Brother Justin, eulogize.
Brother Justin, testify.
Pursuit of Cobra.
Pursuit of Cobra. It was good times. It still
yes,
is good
amen.
Times.
Thank you. And thank you for this pod, joining us for this podcast. That wraps it up.
Yeah, that's the end. I just want to tell everybody that Greg told me about 2 minutes ago that, yeah, you're going to be talking about this whole thing. So I've had
show prep
time
on the fly.
We all kind of know how the Rise of Cobra went, how it progressed, how it ended. The whole licensing issues, as you know, retailers had a glut of Rise of Cobra toys on their shelves, and Hasbro had a bunch of stuff planned to kind of follow up what was certainly to be a blockbuster movie selling a whole lot of toys that didn't end up selling quite as many toys as they anticipated. So, they had all these extra things kicking around and tried to kind of on the fly figure out a way to reinvent the brand and keep it moving forward. And I think they, obviously they did a pretty damn good job at it, I'd have to say. They, they had to scramble a little bit as Pursuit of Cobra figures were slated to come out using actors' likenesses. Technically, I guess you could say Wave 5 of the Rise of Cobra line was really the first iteration of Pursuit of Cobra that had the environmental sub-themes throughout the City Strike Duke, the City Strike Snake Eyes.
And for those of you playing along at home, they would have the different color band around the bottom of the packaging.
Yep, to reflect the environment that they were gearing that figure towards. And that kind of spiraled into what was going to be the first wave of Pursuit of Cobra, which had like an Arctic version of Duke, using Channing Tatum's head sculpt, had, Jungle Assault, Cobra Commander, had a bunch of figures using the
Desert Heavy
aesthetic.
Duty.
Exactly.
City Strike Scarlet.
Yep. A lot of figures that people have heard of, some that
makes a lot of people cry.
Yeah, exactly. exactly. So they really had to kind of rethink things a little bit. And in my mind, I think they rethought things pretty well. I mean, they took a figure like the Jungle Assault Duke, you know, took off Channing Tatum's head sculpt, put on a different, better head sculpt, and got it out to release. And to me, it was really kind of telling how cool Pursuit of Cobra was, because I really don't think Rise of Cobra gets enough credit for being as good a toy line as it was. Say what you want to say about the movie, say what you want to say about the aesthetics of the figures themselves. I think the figures were built and made and designed really well. And Pursuit of Cobra is just it's a proof of that fact, because they used the same techniques in the Pursuit of Cobra line. They just weren't tied down to the Paramount
movies. Well, I think they actually took it up a notch, to kind of not sound like a cook on the cooking channel, but they actually, I think, improved on the level of detail. In fact, really? Didn't they win an award for action figure design during this phase?
Yeah, I mean, OAFE.com is an online action figure. I think it's Online Action Figure Entertainment is what OAFE stands for. And they've been in the game for a very long time. They've been reviewing figures for at least a decade, if not more. They do some G.I. Joe. They do some other stuff. And Pursuit of Cobra won, actually, it almost swept the awards. I think it got Greatest Toy Line. I think there was a couple figures that were some of the best figures in their particular sections. It's really been widely regarded as a very high-quality toy line, and I think in a way Joe fans are kind of spoiled.
Absolutely.
I hate to say that in a way, because Joe fans, you know, we don't get as much product as we'd probably like, and it's tough to say, well, how are we spoiled? You know, we're lucky if we get 30 figures a year. You know, you got Transformers and Star Wars, got all this stuff. Take a G.I. Joe figure out of the package. You just look at the figure's design, the figure sculpting, the figure's accessories. And then look, even a figure like a Captain America figure. I really like the Captain America line, but look at those two figures next to each other. There's no comparison. How much better G.I. Joe is.
But the Marvel Universe did try to keep up with the enhanced articulation, or if you want to call it the swivel chest articulation of the modern era Joe, and the additional detail that you saw on the Pursuit of Cobra. They tried.
Oh yeah,
they didn't quite do it.
Yeah, they tried, and they're still trying, but. I don't know where the design aesthetic excuse me, man, we do a podcast for an hour and a half, I start losing my voice. Where the design aesthetic comes from as far as like the hip joints go, where they've got those funky kind of multi swing hip joints that don't really work that well. You gotta open your eyes, just look at the Pursuit of Cobra as a whole and just really marvel at how fantastic it was. What a great job Hasbro did from a design angle, from an execution angle, and just be downright depressed that retailers didn't seem to latch onto it a little bit better. It's amazing to me that you could go to, you know, a Walmart in 2009 and see pegs and pegs and pegs and pegs of the ugly ass Baroness figure from that first wave of Rise of Cobra figures, ugly Storm Shadow. And you got figures like the Alley Viper and the Cobra Commander and the Jungle Assault Duke and Beachhead and the Wave 3 Snake Eyes that are such awesome figures that just never really appeared at retail or never really got fully saturated at retail. It's a shame. And Pursuit of Cobra really, I don't want to say it deserved better, because it got 6 waves. It lasted over a year. It gave us a bunch of figures.
You'd almost think that it was as lucky to get what it got.
Well, frankly, it was. I mean, it kind of, you know, right after the Rise of Cobra, you know, sales weren't as good as anticipated. They could have easily shelved the line entirely. So it kind of got by on borrowed time at the beginning. And then even at the end, as the plan was in place to move to Renegades full time, the decision was made pretty late in the process to give us 2 more waves, you know, Wave 5 and Wave 6. So really, the Pursuit of Cobra kind of was living on borrowed time the entire time of its existence, which is why it's so incredible that they did what they did with it and gave us so many great figures and really kind of redefined how people look at G.I. Joe, I think, especially collectors. You know, people are going to have pretty damn high standards when it comes to the movie sequel stuff. I hope Hasbro's up to the task of kind of living up to that end of the bargain, because they have set the bar pretty damn high with the Pursuit of Cobra line. And I know when they talked about doing a Pursuit of Cobra retrospective and kind of thinking about, you know, you want to pick your pluses and pick your minuses, and it's probably cliche to say this, but, you know, it's like asking me to pick my favorite kid. I mean, they're awesome. So many awesome figures there. It's really tough to kind of narrow it down. But I'm amazed at just how well Pursuit of Cobra went from beginning to end. And I think we should probably move on and, like, talk about what our 3 favorites, what our 3 you know, not so favorites were. And I don't know if, do you guys want me to start that discussion, or does somebody else want to take over, or are people sick of listening to my voice?
I want to hear what Chuck has to say about his top three.
All right, so Chuck, roll with it.
Go, Chuck. Of your voice. Chuck, you're the man, Chuck. Chuck.
Well,
No pressure, Chuck.
First of all, I have to once again draw the ire of my three co-hosts. I have every single Pursuit of Cobra figure that did not come with the vehicle, including the two Toys R Us exclusives. I have not opened them all yet.
Greg, do you want to go ahead and just do your top three, and we'll just skip Chuck?
No. I have a top three. It's just that
I like Shadow Tracker. His packaging is really nice. He looks like he'd be a fun figure if I had opened him.
I really like the Toys R Us sticker. That's what he says.
All right. So, but my top three. Number three. The Alley Viper. I have to. Basically, the best that I can say about him is this is now the standard from which Hasbro has to start every troop builder in terms, whatever it's urban, desert, jungle, this is the standard. There's enough accessories that if you have two Alley Vipers, which I do, you can basically have two different looking figures. But this is it. I mean, this is how a trooper should look. This is how a trooper should act. These should be the troopers in the next G.I. Joe movie. I mean, I'll even be so bold as to say that from, you know, the 25th era on, this is the best trooper they've made. Number two.
I could buy into that.
Number two. And now number one and two were very tough. But number two, Lowlight. I mean, I had to give it to Lowlight. When the Pursuit of Cobra.
At least you opened them up.
Last week.
And Justin, you know that's not true.
What, you didn't open him up?
You know, I opened him up sooner than last week.
We saw the video, don't worry.
Yes, that's absolutely right. We have video proof.
I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I'm going on the list. Here we go. All right,
When the Pursuit of Cobra was first announced, one of the things they said is that this would be a line that they would be able to work in more 25th anniversary homages. Then, to be honest, I think they only really did one. That one was Lowlight, and it was absolutely perfect. He's the only figure I can think of. This
you didn't
new
think Spirit was?
Well, Spirit has a quick special kick. Place. Spirit has a special place for me because Spirit, I mean, that's Billy from Predator. And, I mean, that's dead on Billy from Predator.
So, I mean, it's an homage to the 25th one to be.
Well, no, but
what
it's
about
not,
Quick Kick?
Talking about newer figures that look a lot like their older incarnations, I think is kind of what he's talking about.
Oh, dead on, ringers for their old, okay.
Versions of them.
Yeah.
This would be the updates, and really the only one they did was Lowlight from his original to this one. He can carry all his accessories. He's the only figure I can think of from this era that can do that. I mean, everything pegs onto him, straps onto him. It's perfect. The articulation for what he has to do is top notch. He can hold the rifle. He can hold it up like a sniper. The reason he's number two. When you hear who number one is, you'll understand. But the reason he's number two is that there were issues with some of the accessories on the gun being so small and just falling off at the slightest touch. I think Justin said it best. Just because they can do it, why would they do it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the fact that there's a box that he came with a box of bullets that I had to leave taped up in the box in his little tray, just because I was afraid of losing one of them. That says something. But, if we never see another Lowlight figure, which, I would say it would be a very long time before we do.
Maybe not.
This is perfect.
Maybe not. I think we will see him later on down the line. They put too much money in that
Well, we might see his parts. We might see – but, I mean, if we see another Lowlight figure, I don't think he'll look the same as this.
Oh, of course not.
Maybe a repaint or something.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
But you know, as an homage to his original, you know, this is the best. In fact, I'll even go so far as to say that in terms of homages, they really nailed it. I mean, this is the best update of a, you know, 80s G.I. Joe figure. Now, number one has to be that version that Wave 3 Snake Eyes. I mean...
So you're looking at the Snake Eyes version 54, the last one. Yeah, the Super Commando one.
Yeah, basically, every time I've tried to describe this figure to someone, the easiest way to do it is this is the $200 Sideshow 12-inch figure scaled down to 3¾ inches. Two pistols. Two silencers. The silencer can fit on one of the pistols and his Uzi. Two swords. His trademark sword of Snake Eyes that we haven't really seen in black, I think, since the original figure. I don't know. I know it's been around in that shape and design, but never in its complete black. I mean, the extra assault rifle, the back. They even came with two heads. You had two different figures in this set, and it was for under $10. The wrist articulation was perfect. Did he have some trouble holding his swords? Yes. But that's something, you know, a little blow dryer you can fix. I'm personally not someone who does that. Really wasn't that big of an issue. But, you know, as I said in my review, I think even Justin said in his review, if you're going to buy one Snake Eyes, this is the one to get. So, and, you know, and that had to be, you know, number one for me. But now if you guys, you know, Greg, if you want to go next, talk about your three favorites, go ahead.
Sure. I just want to say your three, I have no arguments with any of those. Those are all probably some of the finest figures that Hasbro's produced. I mean, I got to say ever. That's a good thing about Pursuit of Cobra is that as an overall line of, what do we get, 30-ish figures, maybe 25-ish figures? There are maybe three or four stinkers in the entire line. The rest of them are just
that's amazing.
Tornado kick, anybody?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, and the thing is, and this was three. I mean, this is just my top three. I mean, you know, Gary, when I was talking, was mentioning, you know, Spirit, Quick Kick. I mean, those are, you know, equally good figures. It's just, you know, I mean, just to chop, you know, to call it all down to three is like, you know, incredibly difficult, but that's a testament to the line.
Agreed. Yeah.
All right, Greg. So, what's your three?
Not in any particular order, I guess, just because it's hard to pick a favorite. But I'll start off with Dusty from Wave 2. I know this figure gets a lot of. What tends to happen is if a figure is on the pegs a lot, people tend to think that it's a bad figure, and in this instance, I don't think there was other figures in that wave that went a lot quicker and that was kind of left what was sitting on there along with Arctic Destro and maybe the Zartan too, but Dusty is awesome as a well-molded figure. He's got the two heads, which is great. I think that one of the best thing that Pursuit of Cobra has done is started putting in two different heads with figures, because I mean, if you want to have your Commando Snake Eyes, you can. If you want to have your Night Visor Snake Eyes, you can. If you want Dusty with that gas mask or like the sand mask, you can have that. Or you have the other head where you can put on the helmet. I think that as a playability, that's fantastic.
That's a trend they kind of sprinkled throughout the entire Pursuit of Cobra line.
Yeah, and I really hope that continues. It seems like it will with the Renegades Cobra Commander, how he's got the two different heads.
Yeah, Storm Shadow does too.
Yep, that's right. Good point. I think that's something that if they keep on doing, people are going to be very happy with, especially in the customizing community where you can just, I mean, you basically buy a figure, and if it comes with a bunch of weapons and accessories and heads, that's basically like you just bought an accessory pack to customize with, which is fantastic. So a great figure. He holds the weapons really well. It looks excellent. You can do a lot with them. Number two pick, I guess, would be the Wave 5 Hawk figure, General Hawk. One thing I lean towards is a lot of people are more Cobra fans, but I've always been more on the G.I. Joe side. And to have a figure that of Hawk that looks combat ready and can lead the troops, I think it's great. He may not be made up of any new parts, and he may not come with any new accessories, but I think they really nailed a combat-ready, modern-looking Hawk instead of wearing a bomber jacket, which I know a lot of people have that affinity for him because that's how he's always been, and I have no problem with that. But I like that he looks modern, and he looks ready to take the battlefield right now. Like, it's a good-looking figure, and the fact that you can do a lot of things with it, either you can have him as Hawk or as Grunt or as whoever you want, that definitely adds to him. And then the final figure it was one of the first ones that we saw, probably was the first one that we saw for Pursuit of Cobra, and it holds up today as it did when it was first shown, is that Wave 1 Beachhead figure. As I mentioned before, I'm a huge fan of Beachhead. He's my favorite character. I didn't feel like any of the 25th editions of him really were that great. All of them were kind of, I don't know, odd proportions, or just the articulation on him wasn't the best. But the Pursuit of Cobra one is fantastic. Just the bevy of accessories he comes with, that tactical vest with the removable knife sheath and then another knife sheath on the back, and the weapons. And I like that underneath, if you take off the vest, he's got, it looks like basically tactical. It's kind of molded a little bit differently, but it looks very cool with or without the vest. Again, that's a figure that I don't pick up multiples of many Joe figures, but he's one I have a few of, just because I think it's just a great figure all around. A big fan of that one. And I know Chuck didn't mention any vehicles. I'm not sure if he picked up anything from Pursuit of Cobra or not, but I think the Vamp would be my pick of the Pursuit of Cobra litter. Some people, I don't know, didn't like it as much for whatever reason. It didn't have doors, or it didn't look just like the original Vamp, but that thing loaded up with a bunch of figures rolling around is pretty awesome. I'm really excited that we're going to see it again in the 30th anniversary in some different colors, because it just looks good. It's a good looking vehicle. It's got a lot of playability. It's pretty durable, and even though the stickers were a pain to put on, I think it fits in very well with the Pursuit of Cobra look, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I heard a lot of bad words about the Vamp when it came out, but I agree totally. It's an awesome vehicle. Very underrated.
All right, Justin, do you want to give your top list too?
Sure. I think one thing we tried to do when we were discussing this beforehand was just to make it a little different. We wanted to kind of make sure that we didn't mix and match our lists. Like, we're trying not to duplicate each other's choices, which frankly I think is a testament to how good the Pursuit of Cobra line is, that we can all pick three favorite figures and have them be individual lists that kind of don't cross with each other. I totally agree with Chuck that Low Light, Snake Eyes are really, really great figures. I agree with Greg about Dusty and Beachhead. Those are both terrific figures as well. But I was still able to go through and kind of pick three of my top figures that don't cross with others. And I would say probably number three would be Skydive. He originally kind of slated as a Ripcord repaint. He was a really nice, bulky, quilted figure, or, you know, looked like he was wearing some big padded uniform with a really cool jetpack, a great helmet. The reason he probably comes in at number three is that he didn't really have any weapons besides a pistol, but really he didn't need a weapon. He looked like somebody who flies a futuristic jetpack might look. It's not like a jump jetpack where it's just a guy with a red quilt on his chest who straps a rocket to his back and flies around. This guy had a really nice, elaborate, intricate uniform, a great chest harness that kind of connected with some straps. The backpack was really nicely designed. It hooked cleanly onto his back, and the wings folded down and swung back up.
You know, I'm kind of surprised you mentioned him, considering we just kind of got done talking about the Volcano Viper and how you couldn't pose him. And then one of your top three is a figure that's somewhat difficult to pose because of everything that comes on him.
He is a little bit, but I mean, he's got, I think, more flexibility than somebody like the Hazard Viper does.
Most figures have more flexibility. Oh, yeah.
Good point. But yeah, no, you're right. His chest harness is pretty bulky. It's pretty restrictive. But I was still, you know, taking reviews. I was able to get him in a bunch of cool flying poses and some, you know, standing and fighting poses. I think he's a great figure. He's got kind of those big, huge pouches, the big hanging straps that go under his leg. You know, it doesn't restrict his hips, so he can kind of, you know, he can do a spread out stance pretty well. He can move his arms enough, you know, to fire a pistol. He can't fire a machine gun two-handed, which kind of sucks, but he can fire that pistol he came with. You know, Chuck is so anal about them being able to hold weapons that they come with. Well, Skydive can do that at least. And for some reason, I really love the fact that they didn't just throw the name Skydive on there. They actually took the file name from the original 1990 Skydive, the leader of Sky Patrol, and made him this new character that really, you know, when I first heard Skydive and he had this generic ski mask, it's like, oh, they just threw Skydive on there. It could be whoever. But no, they actually made it that character, which I thought was pretty cool. so he came in at number three. Number two and number one were really, really tough for me to kind of separate. number two, I put in as Jungle Duke. He's number two pretty much because he's a Duke figure. Everybody hates Duke these days. But for, you know, a Duke figure that's so reviled, this figure is awesome. Everything that Hasbro could have done right, they did right. His arm articulation is perfect. He can hold weapons two-handed flawlessly. His legs look great. The camouflage pattern's great. They use the reactive armor suit from the movie, but they cover it up with some really awesome web gear that holds his machete. He's got a great military backpack with some actual elastic straps on it to kind of hold weapons in.
And a spot for the flashlight inside.
Exactly, yeah. And he's got a flashlight that goes right in there. He's got a portable kind of squad automatic weapon, the saw, you know, heavy machine gun, but a portable version that's typically a paratrooper issue. He's got that M4 carbine, a very great basic military figure that is just hits all the right points to be a G.I. Joe figure. He looks military, but he's got some futuristic elements to him. The new head sculpt is terrific with a sculpted headband. Very kind of Metal Gear Solid-ish, and I really like seeing some of these Metal Gear influences on the G.I. Joe line. I think he was kind of a showcase for the Pursuit of Cobra, just saying, look, we can do a general, very basic military jungle figure. Here he is. He really isn't anything flashy. He doesn't have a jetpack. He doesn't have all this like interactive accessories. He's just a basic military guy, but he's such an awesome figure that he just knocks it out of the park. He's by far one of my top Pursuit of Cobra figures. And even as we were comparing lists to kind of make sure we didn't mix and match, Jungle Duke was a figure I put right at the top of my list, even, you know, without looking at others' lists and crossing some others off. I think he's that good. And number one has to be Shadow Tracker. He is a figure that kind of gets a little overlooked, I think. I think he was a pretty desirable figure when people first saw the test shot at JoeCon a couple of years back. And then I don't know if he kind of lost his luster.
He's going to end up – I think the Ashiko bike and him are going to – everyone's like, man, I got to have this thing. And once you get it, like, okay, all right, that's it.
Yep. Yeah, I think he's very poseable. Like Jungle Duke, he's got, you know, really nicely jointed knees, no real restrictions to his articulation there. His arms bend past 90 degrees so he can hold two-handed weapons well. Comes with a ton of different like blades and knives and spears. His translucent mask is really cool. Best of all, he's a new character, kind of a new invention, a new idea for Cobra that was actually a really unique and interesting concept. You know, they've never really had a jungle specialist before. They've always had these characters that I guess he could kind of be a jungle guy, like Croc Master could kind of be a jungle guy, the Range Vipers could kind of be jungle guys. But this is Cobra's really, and of course it's the Jungle Viper, but this is the first pure core like jungle themed character that really, really struck a chord and seemed like an awesome foil for Spirit, and it was just a great.
Well, now as you've also seen, not to interrupt you again, sorry Justin, but
no, that's fine.
Not we've also seen how rare a new Cobra character is, or really any new character is, if it doesn't have a Joe history, because we've kind of seen with precedent set on a Data Viper that if you don't have some previous history, you're first on the chopping block if there needs to be cuts made. So the fact that we saw him all the way through, originally there was question whether or not he would come out, if you remember.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I think it was a lot of fan pressure, and I think there were some fans at Hasbro and outside the design team that really wanted to see this thing come out for us that got it to come out. And I think it's another reason why you have it, you know, and certainly I agree with it in your top three, because it's we don't get new dynamic Cobra villains very often, but when we do, They're normally rare, and they're normally good.
Yep. So, yeah, those are my... go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say, throw in a quick plug-in for... There's a guy that on Joe Bad Lions and Joe Sightings. His name's Alex, and he does reviews as well.
Oh, yeah.
Alex, yeah.
The one he did of Shadow Tracker is awesome because of the font he uses for how Shadow Tracker talks. And every time I see him, I can't get this creepy voice out of my head. That's how this guy would talk.
Yes.
I love Alex.
He's a funny dude, yeah.
It's Alex with two X's for anybody who wants to look that up.
Yeah, it's called Alex Shorts. Yep. And he also tied it into the his review of Skydive. He also had Shadow Tracker show up.
Yeah, it's some good stuff. And for the vehicle, it was a little bit tougher for me to kind of isolate my favorite vehicle because I really like the Vamp, and Greg stole that from me. So I've got to I went a little outside the box, and I picked the Ghost Hawk with Tomahawk. I'm not a huge Skyhawk fan, really, but I think the way they retooled the vehicle made it more armored, kind of more real world. I really love the kind of dropship look it has to it.
Yeah, they borrowed the engine look from the Howler.
Yeah, definitely. And that one really appealed to me. You know, I was going to think about choosing the Hiss, because I love the Hiss a lot more than a lot of other people did, too. But ultimately, I chose the Ghost Hawk just to kind of think outside the box a little bit and try to pick something unique, because I think that's a really great vehicle that is often overlooked. And, you know, if you go to Targets, you see them all sitting on the shelves. So, unfortunately, they didn't sell through quite as well. But that's a great vehicle that I think everybody should definitely check out.
I would argue with that. I think they did a pretty good job with... I was harping on the vehicle drivers in the last episode, talking about how I didn't think they got a lot of attention, but I think they did a pretty okay job with repainting a lift ticket and making them seem like a new character, even though the resculpt of the head, or the reuse of the head, isn't the best.
Yeah.
I think he looks pretty good, especially with the helmets on. It looks okay.
Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. So I guess, Gary, you're up for your three.
Yeah, you guys are killing me on the vehicles. Might as well get that out of the way because Vamp's already been taken, and I can't take the Ghost Hawk. You know, you would think the Hiss, but they had to take the Hiss back just to give it the right color. Ice Cutter's okay. The Doom Cycle, that was the worst of the group. I guess the mechs, because you went back into another era of Joe just to bring those out, because I believe those were Sigma 6 mechs, weren't they?
Yes, there were mechs made. Well, there was one mech called the Iron Hammer, which was made for the 2.5-inch Sigma 6 line, and then there was other planned follow-up mechs that never got released that kind of these mechs borrowed some parts from, I believe.
Well, there you go. So the mechs, if you're into mechs, could be a highlight. My figures, number three, and boy, this guy was highly, highly anticipated. And then after a while, you just saw him hanging on the pegs, and you're like, what the heck? I thought everybody wanted the army build the crap out of these. And that's Jungle Viper.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we first saw him at Joe Con, like, whoa, look at all this camouflage, all this gear. It's a straight-up homage, or, you know, indirect homage to the Night Viper with the big night scope that he had. And for whatever reason, he just kind of hung and hung and hung. And either people got their fill of him, they didn't like him, whatever. But I liked it. I liked it a lot. That must have been a ton of money that Hasbro put into that with all that new tooling. And if you're going to pour that much money into something like that, you're going to get my appreciation out of it because, again, we like to see where they like to make cuts in this line. And the fact that that guy even came out after all the money they spent on it, thanks a lot. That was a good one. Firefly. I'll go with Firefly from Wave 1. Interchangeable heads, two guns, assault rifle, backpack that you can throw everything into. The second head kind of had that Predator look, which they continued on through the line. A little bit bulky for some people, but I think the figure kind of add a little badassness, if you want to invent a word here, to Firefly, who was just kind of a ninja-looking saboteur and a ski mask type thing. Now he has like some armor and can take the fight from the shadows to the street instead of keep it in the shadows, which is his old character would have done. And of course, to nobody's surprise, it should be my number one character is anybody. Go ahead and guess who's my number one character.
Can we guess?
Snow Job.
Yes, Snow Job. Thank you very much. You know, the 12-inch collectors say, you know, for 3¾-inch collectors, it's all about, you know, the vehicle and the character. Because Larry Hama did the file cards, and he give these figures some character that we can put into our own storylines as kids. 12-inch collectors, they don't have that. It's all about the accessories. And, man, this guy had a bunch of accessories. Not only did he have his standard skis that you expect, but he had a whole camping kit right down to a freaking frying pan with, you know, something that he could put over the fire and make himself food underneath his lean-to tent that comes with a, you know, you got another piece of fabric and you lock in the skis and the ski poles in order to make himself some sort of shelter. That was awesome, and it was all about the accessories. And yeah, you got more stuff that you can lose, and I'm sure people more than once lost parts from this guy. I think it adds a little bit more background credence to this character, which we've always known he was supposed to be a biathlete, but when the first figure came out, he has a laser rifle. The biathlete aspect of Snow Job makes a little bit more sense of why he has a sniper rifle now, because if anyone's watched the Olympics, the biathlon is cross-country skiing, stop, shoot some targets, cross-country ski, stop, shoot some targets, and so forth and so on. And if you've ever seen it during the Olympics, you would see how challenging it is and how winded these guys are when they get into the prone position to start shooting. It's not easy. Cross-country skiing, Justin, you're from snow territory. You know how hard it is to cross-country ski.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So that the fact that he is at top of his game and this character can do that says a lot about the enhanced backstory of Snow Job. But all the accessories and everything came with it. Yeah, he did have that Yukon Cornelius type look with the red beard and everything. And maybe I wish the goggles could come off, but I'm not going to really split hairs over the guy. That was definitely, obviously, my favorite. And hey, as long as Hasbro wants to keep Snow Job on the radar screen, I'll keep buying them.
I think because Pursuit of Cobra's been out so long, I think you tend to forget about certain figures that are out there, like the Snow Job. Before you'd even mention it, I was trying to go through the list and thinking of stuff, and that Snow Job figure really is. The accessories he comes with are pretty awesome. I don't know. Especially if you want to set up dios for pictures. Mm-hmm. So the guys, I've seen some pretty good ones during the winter when someone would set up Snow Job and then they had snow serpents, but it was just like Snow Job cooking, you know, breakfast over a fire, and then the snow serpents are in the background getting ready to attack. I mean, it's neat that it comes out with little stuff like that.
Everyone makes fun of Snow Job.
And let's not forget, Snow Job was another figure. Everything he came with, he could carry.
Well, I guess I'm going to be the dissenter of the group because Snow Job was probably one of my, probably not my least favorite Pursuit of Cobra figures, but he's definitely not one of my favorites.
You suck and you're now irrelevant. You now.
You know, even though he was born in Rutland, Vermont, which is kind of right down the road a little
bit.
That's
right. It's my parents' backyard.
And I love the accessories. The tent is cool. The skis are cool. But the figure is just, I don't know. His elbows can barely bend. He's just most, you know, even though there's some new tooling involved there, he looks like a lot of repaint from, you know, the Arctic Shipwreck and Arctic Snake Eyes. I can't honestly tell you if he is or not, but he just kind of gives that impression. It doesn't look very new. Compared to a lot of other Pursuit of Cobra figures, he surprisingly lacks detail. He's got a very basic kind of parka, very basic winter pants. I love a sniper rifle, but he can't really hold it. I love the tent, but you need like an 8-page instruction booklet to figure out how to set it up, which they didn't include. he's fine. Like I said, I love his accessories. The figure itself, I'm not big on.
Doesn't matter.
My opinion is invalid.
All right. I know we're running long on time again on this one. Does everyone want to give kind of their one stinker of the line that, if Hasbro's listening to this, don't repeat, don't ever do again, don't pass go, don't collect $200.
Gary, I just wanted to add, because everyone mentioned like their favorite vehicle, I just wanted to throw out there, I never saw anything past Bravo Wave 1 or Alpha Wave 2, And seeing that there was other stuff on the shelf at the time that took precedence, I actually never got a chance to pick up any of the vehicles. I do actually have one of the repainted Hiss, the Black Hiss. I just haven't had a chance to put it together yet. So, you know, that's my... So I know Greg and Justin...
A G.I. Joe toy that you haven't opened yet? No way.
Shock.
Well, no, I've opened it just to see how many pieces it was.
You've opened it and then cried and put it all back in the box, and I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Well, but it's, you know, I just wanted to mention, I know Greg and Justin, you both said that, you know, you mentioned the Vamp. I never saw the Vamp. I mean, I can get the Vamp and the Cobra vehicle, which I can't remember right now. That's available on Hasbro Toy Shop.
Fury? That, are you thinking of
the Fury? Yeah, the Fury. It's like, you know, I'd love to
can
get
those. Can
I say,
those. Chuck, there's this wonderful new invention these days. They call it the Internet. Maybe you've heard of it?
Yeah, well they're on Hasbro Toy Shop. It's just that the shipping and everything is rather expensive because they're larger vehicles.
I can accept that, I guess.
Yeah, I actually lucked out with the Vamp. I got it from Amazon when it was on sale for just like a week, barely, for $19, which...
Oh.
I ordered like one other thing, and then you get the free shipping, which...
Oh.
Is Chuck having a heart attack?
No, Chuck, you too, Greg. I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Well, look, because I'm at this point now, you know, space and money is tight, so I'm always looking for, like, coupons and deals and stuff like that, you know? It's like... Oh, I wish I would have known.
Yeah, I don't think I will let. I'll let you know if I see something like that again. But hopefully, the new repaint of the Vamp will be more available for people because it really is a good vehicle.
But the new repaint isn't going to come with clutch, and I really was interested in that clutch figure.
If you really want that clutch figure, I will send you mine because you know, it looks like a well. I'm not gonna. Anyways,
move on, Greg. Move on.
So we're picking one stinker.
One stinker, yeah.
If it's a stinker, I don't buy it, or I try not to buy it, even though I've been getting the sets lately. I guess the only one that really sticks out is Crocmaster from Wave 6.
It's a good call.
Nice, yeah.
It really doesn't offer much that the original didn't, and even though people are going all excited about the repaint that's coming out, the red one,
Yeah,
I mean, just because it's going to be rare doesn't make it good, I guess.
I don't think it's going to be rare. I think it's just going to be the rare one's going to be the one that's out now because the repaint's what's going to be coming out going forward. It's debatable at best, but
yeah,
I don't think there's any rareness in either one of them, to be honest.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, they're probably not going to be too available, either of them, but they both stink, so it really doesn't matter. That's my opinion.
Yep.
Justin, what's your stinker besides Snowjob?
Well, I'm just going to stick with Snowjob.
Oh, man, you were just killing me slowly
chose
every single time.
Twice.
Man.
Double-decker Snowjob.
No.
Oh, that sounds...
Yeah. Not to be... Well, I'm not going to even go there.
Good. Chuck, what's your stinker?
I got to go with Crocmaster.
He's already been mentioned. Pick another one.
Come on, Chuck. Stay with the program. Boy. Here. Not repeating.
Oh boy!
Now it's past your bedtime, but
yeah,
that's very difficult.
Legal procedure. Repeat the play.
Just say Snowjob.
I can't mention. You know, you're horrible, Justin. I thought you guys were going to do this to me, so I got somebody else. Arctic Threat Shipwreck. You know, from the
Wrestle. Okay, all right.
You know. I mean, the figure on the surface looks good, but when you break it down and you realize he comes with a rifle he can't hold, or he can hold, but he can't use in any threatening manner, and that the fact that he's abusive to his pet parrot, that he has his parrot in the middle of the Arctic without any type of protection, you know, it'd have to be him.
That's a bastard, I'll tell you.
Now, in your little cartoon... He had the parrot out in the desert with no protection.
Yeah, but parrots are tropical animals. They love the heat.
Listen to Chuck. He's a parrot specialist.
He's a parrot specialist.
He's an aficionado.
Oh, let's see. Mine, the jungle storm shadow, or excuse me, the jungle snake eyes with the gimmicky tornado kick. I think collectors have proved once and again that we don't really fall for this stuff. Khazro says, hey, it's for the kids. And I'm beginning to think the kids aren't falling for it either. I think that one, any of that gimmick, that goes with the Storm Shadow as well. I think failed miserably. And then to a nod to our guys at our friends at Joe Customs, I think it's beyond F-A-I-L. I think it's P-H-A-I-L on those two particular designs. They were bad. Don't do them again.
I have to disagree there because I think...
Chuck, it doesn't matter, Chuck.
Disagree?
Yeah, because, I mean, the gimmick did not take away from any of the figure's articulation.
What articulation?
What are you talking about? You on drugs?
That was actually one of the Pursuit of Cobra figures I opened, so I actually know what I'm talking about. He could do...
As opposed to...
The qualifier of expertise is I opened this one. Never mind not opening the other good ones you had. You just opened the crap.
Like the hiss in the box. And when you got that,
yeah.
That's for sure.
Are you done? Are you done?
Bird's a little out of whack.
You guys still want to take a couple more shots?
We're working on it.
His articulation isn't impacted when he's got no swivel torso. And he's got
a swivel torso.
At the hips?
What?
The torso can swivel fine.
At his waist? Oh, not up in his midsection. Where
not the,
okay,
yeah,
so he has
swivel
the
chest.
Traditional type of waist articulation.
If you try to make him swivel, he like spins freely and then turns the opposite direction. And
that never happened with mine. If there was a pose I wanted him in, he went into it, no problem.
I bet there was.
I will say this about those two figures, though. If they did not have the action attack, I guess we're going to call it, they would be pretty okay figures. They weren't the best, but they weren't as terrible. It's just the whole, I don't know. It's a gimmick, like you said. It doesn't really add a lot to it.
No more gimmick. Well, yeah, they got to give us gimmicks every time. I mean, we're going to see it. You saw in the Rise of Cobra, and we're probably going to see it in G.I. Joe 2 figures. We're going to get these spring-loaded things again. And they didn't have anything spring-loaded to give us, so they're like, hey, let's do the swing your hips swivel.
Well, that is spring-loaded.
It is spring-loaded, yeah, I know it, but it's still another gimmick, so...
It's all right, Chuck. We won't judge you.
You know what we need for the G.I. Joe 2? Here's the gimmick. Remember the Rambo figures? They had those, like, the launching weapons that were on the little pull string.
Oh, I love those things.
That's what we need. There we go. See, Justin, we're on the same page
again. All right, there we go.
So I'll tell you what. If anyone agrees cool with again. Chuck about the Jungle Assault Snake Eyes being... fully posable, go ahead and email the program at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com and tell us. Show us. Give us pictures.
Wait a minute.
And then send us your psychiatric evaluation.
Yeah.
Dad, you know, I don't know if you can do yoga positions like diving dog or squatting bull. Because I don't do that with my figures. But traditional ninja military type poses, kicking people, punching people, swinging swords, he had no problems doing.
Next, JoeCon, I'll show you the squatting bull. I think you'll like it. Hello?
Thank you, because that kind of like, ugh.
I think Justin's really starting to think that moving in together might work out okay.
We're reaching back to the Odd Couple thing, but now I'm a little freaked out. You know?
You're creeped out, okay. All right.
On that note,
does that wrap up our thoughts on the line known as the Pursuit of Cobra?
Pursuit of Cobra so eloquently is talking about the sitting bull, or the squatting bull, whatever the hell we were talking
squatting
about.
Squatting bull.
Pursuit of Cobra deserves a better send-off than the squatting bull.
You know what? All I can say really about Pursuit of Cobra as a whole is I think it's a great example when you have toy designers who are fans let loose, that the company just says design figures, you have no restrict, you know, you don't have to fit it into a movie aesthetic, you don't have to make it look like an actor, just make the best figures you can. And I really think that's what the Pursuit of Cobra was.
And I think that bodes well for Joe as a line going forward, is that if it's the same designers and the same team going forward to 30th anniversary and then next year's G.I. Joe 2 movie figures, we're in for some excellent stuff, and I am very excited about where the future of the line's going.
Yeah. Yep, 30th, Renegades, and G.I. Joe 2. So the next year and a half hopefully builds upon the positive aspects of Pursuit of Cobra, and we see even better and bigger designs going forward.
Yep. I just want to take a minute, too, now that we've finished talking about Pursuit of Cobra. I don't know if we're wrapping the show up or not, but we mentioned in our last broadcast about the old school folks had showcased a few parts, actually, on their forum. And do you guys still have more stuff to talk about with Pursuit of Cobra? Am I interjecting here, or is this...
Oh, no. If you wanted to, since we are on a supplemental and we did want to talk a little bit about old school creations, they did have some... pretty sweet stuff that they showed.
Yeah, I figure we might as well go from Pursuit of Cobra straight back to old school, just without a segue. I'm good like that. And they showed Slayer Dave, I think, actually posted some of the pics today, and we actually got our first look at Pythona's head sculpt and torso, as well as the Cobra Sniper and the Iron Grenadier Sniper. And since we're talking about great figures, I think we'd only do listeners justice by talking about these, because these things look awesome. Anybody who's a fan of the O-ring style is got to be happy with the photos they see. If you go to the
When I saw Pythona, and I'm not a big Pythona fan. I have much disdain for Cobra Law. But when I originally got the first pictures, I looked at it. I was like, I forgot for a second it was O-ring.
Yeah.
Like, wow. And then they're like, oh, wait a minute, that's O-ring.
Yep.
That head sculpt is spot on.
Like, yeah, it is. It's amazing.
I had to look at it twice. I was like, that looks like they just took a screenshot from the movie and just turned it to a three-quarter view and then just put green on it, because it looks awesome.
It does. Yeah, and I don't mean to interrupt our Pursuit of Cobra talk, but I just felt we really had to mention that, because... I'm really kind of blown away by what they've done, and I'm really excited. Between the Collectors Club subscription and this Old School Creation subscription, I just think there's going to be some really, really cool stuff coming out, even if, I don't want to say Hasbro's dropping the ball, but even if Hasbro's kind of slowing down on their official production, there's some great stuff to kind of fill in the gaps.
Well, yeah, definitely. If you remember, maybe Chuck might not remember. I don't know when he started really kind of getting back into collecting. Were you fully into the movie figures, Chuck?
Oh yeah.
Okay,
oh,
yeah. So you remember that nothing that was supposed to be Wave 14 for the 25th Modern Era wait all the way to pretty much August before we saw any new product. Which was a period of about 9 months. We can't have that again, and I think Hasbro knows that we won't stomach that again. They can call it hiatus, they can call it delay, they can call it whatever they want. I think we know better now. You're going to give us. Thankfully, I think the club and maybe Hasbro's encouraging the club on this type of thing to give us some drop us some stuff in between. Buy the time, make the time go by a little bit quicker. We got a little bit new stuff here. Keep the dogs down, so to speak. And then when the movie stuff comes out, hey, we'll just be rolling in it, and it'll be just like, good times again.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Awkward silence. I don't have the crickets.
Everybody's still preoccupied with the squatting bull discussion.
you made a good point there, Gary.
Thank you.
Let's chop that out in post-production, will we, editing master?
I might be able to do something. it's just good to show that, once again, as professionals we try to sound, this really is just four guys
talking about the squatting bull.
Yeah, squatting bull right over again.
Well, if you keep mentioning squatting bull, that's more occurrences of squatting bull that Gary would have to edit out instead of the initial mention of the phrase squatting bull.
Chuck, why are you attacking me with the squatting bull stuff? You have some issues there, man. You got to work those out.
Greg, are we ready to wrap this up?
Yeah, let's get the heck out of here.
Let's get the heck out of here. All right. Well, let's see. You can talk to us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. You can listen to us at iTunes and whatsonjoemind.podbean.com. Read about us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Find our various threads of the community at TNI, Terradrome, Joe Customs, JBL, His Tank, Joe Declassified, Fighting 118th, Blood for the Baron, and the G.I. Joe Collectors Club, if you can find it.
It's a low blow, Gary.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Justin.
Comedic timing.
A little slow on the uptake. Come on.
Yeah. So we appreciate you listening to this supplemental broadcast of What's On Joe Mine. Guys, you have anything to add before we wrap this up?
Hopefully you guys like the episode. If you do, we'll try to do more of these little one-offs, I guess, that we can just get more in-depth into the big topics.
Yeah, with all this damn news coming out, we're not having time to talk about any of the fun stuff, so... got to do some more of the supplementals so we can get...
Not to say that talking about Pursuit of Cobra ending is not fun. I mean,
that's a good point.
Sure. Chuck, do you got anything to add? Sitting bowl?
Squatting bowl.
Squatting bowl.
No, I'm good. Just, Pursuit of Cobra was a great line, and I'm anxious and look forward to everything in the future.
Well put. Couldn't have said it better myself. So because of that... we'll go ahead and end it right here. For our showrunner, Greg, co-host Justin and Chuck, I am Gary saying good night and see you on our next supplemental of What's On Joe Mine.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Tomorrow, begging, stealing, lying, cheating, trying to keep you.